Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, October 10th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the web at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and look for the two words in the upper left-hand corner that say Start Here, we advise you to click on that. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it out, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. They can serve as a tutorial if you choose to listen to them to help you get the most benefit out of these tools in the shortest period of time. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives when they use these tools in their lives, and it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those that you'd like to share with us, please give us a call, 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number. I can announce you by your area code and turn on the microphone. We can have a conversation. And we're wide open to doing that this morning. It's a Monday morning. It's been a full weekend of me participating in and observing the Integrative Mental Health Summit. integrativementalhealthsummit.org, if you have any interest in that, place where for 6 hours, three times Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the host of people interested in finding ways to deal with mental health issues that are holistic, functional medicine trained, and or integrative medicine trained, got together and shared their wisdom and or had discussions. And again, to check that out, it's Integrative Mental Health Summit.org. And we have been working with the Way of Mastery here and the Mind Shifters radio program, at least for the first hour of the two-hour show since January. And I've been doing a little bit because of all the extra stuff that's happening with the Integrative Mental Health Summit. I was a little bit behind getting the files from this show edited and updated on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, but they're there now. And I think we're pretty much caught up. And today, if nobody raises a hand, we're going to go back into Lesson 23, which is titled The Voice for Love. And where I left off the last time is the heading for this section is, you are in the most important journey anyone can ever take. And I remember saying how powerful just that heading is in this set of tools. If you recognize where you are, the importance of your choice of mind energy, your choice of focus for your mind energy every day, then you've really got something you can be working with. If you don't understand it, if you don't, this book has been working at it in various ways from just the first few chapters, first few lessons, trying to help us understand that we don't have anything like an ordinary moment. There is no such thing as an ordinary moment. Abraham Hicks talks about how you are, as a human being on this planet, you're at the cutting edge of creation. Another way to say it is, you are the creative energy manifesting in form. And there's nothing bland or ordinary about that. What you choose to focus on and the interpretations you create are literally the process that creates your experience of life. You're creating a life. You're creating a set of experiences in a human life. So the text reads, you are in the most important journey that anyone can ever take, a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed, even to a place that is unchangeable forever. You, as you listen to this, you have undertaken the journey from illusion to capital R reality. You've undertaken the journey from fear to love, from false power through manipulation, through image, through conforming to the world, to true power, resting in the mind of Christ, being a conduit for that which awakens all of creation. Every function is equal to those that have chosen such a discipleship. Understand then that whenever you are right, wherever you are right now, as you hear these words, wherever you are, right now, you're in the perfect place at the perfect moment. Therefore, indeed, bless the moment as you find it, for it serves two purposes. One, it is the perfect context for your awakening from illusion. And at the very same time, it is offering you the opportunity to cultivate your skill at being a conduit for the voice for love. These two sides of one coin exist fully in the presence of each of your, quote, ordinary, close quotes, moments. So to back up just two small paragraphs where it says, every function is equal to those who have chosen such discipleship. This is another way of saying, if you find yourself sweeping the streets, you have every bit as much potential to awaken to the Christ in you and to extend love, to choose for love, as the person who seems to be running a multi-billion-dollar corporation or having the TV show that's viewed by millions. Every function of a human in those who have chosen to awaken is equal to every other function. And yes, you could have somebody who's on television and having millions of people view them, or hundreds of thousands, and have them be somebody who is awakening to the Christ. Having money, having fame, having influence does not mean you cannot be awakening the Christ. You cannot be choosing for love. At the same time, having money, having fame, doesn't mean that you have any more capacity to be a conduit for the love of creation, or you have any greater capacity to awaken than somebody who doesn't have any fame or notoriety. So the text reads, every function is equal to those who have chosen such a discipleship. Understand then that wherever you are right now as you hear these words, wherever you are right now puts you in the perfect place at the perfect moment. So you're encouraged to bless the moment as you find it, for every moment serves two purposes. One purpose is that it is the perfect context for your awakening from illusion. And at the very same time, it is offering you the opportunity to cultivate your skill at being a conduit for the voice for love. These two sides of one coin exist fully in the presence of each of your moments. As we've said, they are not ordinary. Each moment you have this capacity. The text goes on and says, rest assured, as you come to trust the voice for love, as one born of the capital S Spirit, as one who lives in the wind, it is time for you to release certain forms. If it is time for you to release certain forms, it's a choice, it's a question. There may come a time when it's time for you to change jobs or change a relationship, or change the clothing you wear, or the furniture, what have you. When that is time, you will know. You'll know it in an instant. It'll be coming directly through you. There'll be no questioning. There'll be no agonizing over it. You will simply know. For revelation is knowledge. Knowledge, capital K, knowledge is immediate. It is not translated through a whole lot of thinking in the mind. That is why we choose to say that it is through the heart that one knows the immediate will of capital L love. Now, here we are in the Western world. Here's a sidebar. I'm not reading from the book right now. We're in the Western world, the Western mind. And the way Einstein talked about it was to say we've been given a precious gift, which is the intuitive mind. And a faithful servant, which is the conscious, logical mind. And we have a problem in this culture. We live in a culture that has forgotten the precious gift, the intuitive mind, the connection to spirit, the Christ mind, whatever you want to call it, Holy Spirit, the Great Comforter, the connection to the creative, inspirational flow. We live in a culture that's forgotten that precious gift. And to make matters far worse, we live in a culture that has elevated the faithful servant to the level of master. We are taught over and over again to think our way through things, to find out what's right and wrong, to argue bitterly for our set of logic over somebody else's. And yet, over the past thousands of years, we've known. There's the heart, there's the unconscious, there's the gut feeling, there's the conscious logical mind. There's now our science is talking about at least three different brains, the head, the heart, and the gut. There are people who will do presentations talking about how important it is to learn to meditate and to do yoga and to check in to these three different centers of feeling or sensing or awakening or intuiting. The head, the heart, and the gut. And to be in alignment with all three all throughout the day. So this text reads, rest assured as you come to trust the voice for love as one who is born of the Spirit, as one who lives as the wind. In other words, as you stay connected to your head and your heart and your gut and you keep asking to be shown what's mine to do and you put the conscious logical mind in its proper place as a servant, as a tool, the more you do that, if it becomes time for you to release certain aspects of your life, you'll know it in an instant. You'll simply know. You'll feel it in your bones. You'll have a solid confidence. And you'll take an action from that calm, centered space. And yeah, you might, because there's been years of conditioning in this culture, questioning, judging, debating, doubting yourself, etc., you might, after the fact, have a lot of negative thoughts about it and question, but in the moment, you'll know. And you can choose to build that, the momentum of knowing, of trusting your intuition, of living in the question, of asking to be shown, of staying wide open. And you'll be living in immediate observation and knowledge. You'll be living in the moment, wide open. You'll be living from your head and your heart and your gut, all three, what they call here, living through the heart. And knowing the immediate will of creation, of love, of life. Text goes on and says, as you practice letting go of that which you once valued, you will discover that it gets easier and easier. With each experience of letting go, you find yourself carried in ways that you could never comprehend or create yourself, and carried into new formats, new contexts in which your own wisdom awakens even deeper. The opportunity to be of service expands and grows, as though you stepped from a small room in a house into a large ballroom and realized, this is much better than where I was before. it is not that you have failed when something ends, for in truth, you cannot fail. In truth, there are no endings except in illusions. In the lessons that follow, we will speak much more about the importance and distinction of content and form. We will look at those two sides of the coin and help to illuminate your mind and understanding that it is content that always matters and the form is secondary. Form is what is birthed in time. And as we've said before, what is birthed in time ends in time. Even the body had a beginning and will therefore have an end. Yet it is given over, when it is given over to the voice for love, its purpose becomes timeless, endless, for it begins to express only content. The next section is titled, Make a Decision to View Time Differently. The text reads, in this lesson, the theme that we wish to bring unto you is this. Make a decision right now to view time differently. Put on the eyes of Holy Spirit right where you are right now. Do not just hear what is said, but actually decide to do it. Look around the place you find yourself in. Look at the body. If you are with others at this time, notice them. Notice all things. You are not in the world at all. You are a disciple of Christ. You have chosen by grace to awaken from illusion and to cultivate yourself with support and help into being ever more a mature soul that radiates the light and love of Christ even while in time. Time then must be seized and seen to be of great value and that each and every moment is not a mistake. There is nothing idle about it. You are the one who is free to choose that moment to be informed by the voice for love, to learn ever more deeply to surrender the value of fear, safety, personal survival, and all the rest of it, and to dissolve through faith into the voice for love. From this moment, you could choose to decide to see time differently, to seize the opportunity to train the mind to be vigilant and aware. There is much occurring that may yet seem unseen to you, too subtle to grasp. You call it, quote, being unaware, close quotes. The journey from unawareness to awareness begins with the decision to walk through each moment of the day knowing the truth of who you are and to embrace the purpose and reason for your being and then to ask the Holy Spirit to make all things known and clear in alignment with the voice for love. The body becomes something that you no longer possess. The thoughts that you hold become meaningless. The context of every moment is given over to something new. The decision to see time differently leads you into the cultivation of a way of being that is different and new. Eventually, it will move from a mere intellectual idea into something known in the depth of the soul and expressed through every pore of the skin while the body lasts. They suggest a verbal summary of what that might be like. Quote, I am the Christ. There is only that one, and I am dissolved in and as that one. Call me not great, for only God is worthy of awe. That which I do not do of myself, but the Creator does these things through me. I am one who merely loves love so deeply that I am willing to surrender all things that I once knew to be myself, that my true self, capital S self, who is Christ, informs my every decision, my every gesture, my every extension of the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Now, to rewrite this just slightly with regulatory speech for Dr. Michael Rice, we would simply say, I am one who merely honors love, capital L love, so deeply. So we're changing the word love, so we're not using love as a verb, and we're using the word to honor love so deeply that I'm willing to surrender all things that I once knew to be myself, so that my true self, who is Christ, now informs every decision, every gesture, every extension of the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Close quotes. The text goes on and says, there is a certain phraseology in your world that says, quote, this is some heavy stuff, close quotes. It is very heavy to the ego, since it squashes it like a gnat under a weight. If the light of the sun and the sun itself would come to rest upon your planet, what would happen to your planet? Well, it is much like that when the light of Christ comes to descend again to touch the mind and the emotions of the body where once the ego held sway. The ego dissolves into light itself. It becomes remade. While the body mind lasts, it becomes a mere servant. This is back to the quote from Einstein. The conscious logical mind, the egoic literal processing, the rational mind processing, was always ever only intended to be a very simple servant. The text goes on and says, the mind itself laughs at itself a great deal, for it sees the great joke that it has played on itself. It attempted to be other than what God created it to be. It experienced a multitude of dramas and illusions and storylines, careers, relationships, diseases, and all the rest in a grand attempt to be other than what capital R reality is. So the mind that is awakening laughs at itself a lot. It laughs as the echo of old patterns show up. It tells the truth about them. It need no longer deny them, for they hold no value. The old patterns are not seen as a cave in which to hide. The personality becomes transparent. In its innocence, it becomes perfectly open. They use the word vulnerable. I choose the word open. And in its perfect openness, it finds its transcendent safety. Beloved friends, many of you began this journey out of curiosity. Yet I say unto you that that was only the mind, the conscious mind's attempt to maintain control over the journey itself. No one comes to this pathway who has not made the decision from the depth of the soul. Quote, I am tired of suffering. I am tired of aloneness. I desire to dissolve into Christ's mind and to discover the truth of who I am. Everyone reading these words has made that decision. You are already well on your way. If you think you can turn around and go back to the platform and cash in your ticket, forget it. The train has already left the station. The conductor is creation itself, and those that enter herein cannot leave. The ego will try to convince you that you should because it is fighting for its life. But there is another who fights for your true, capital L, life, the Comforter. The Comforter given unto everyone in the moment the dream began. Well do I know what must emerge once the decision has been made. Each and every one of you will then perceive that your journey is unique and wholly yours. But this is only because you still perceive yourself as a separate being. Why? Because the eyes of the body show you that you are. Because you have lived with a certain husband or wife, and you know that everyone else on the planet did not. You will believe that that portion of your journey was uniquely yours with unique energies that probably no one else could understand. Yet, that was only the matrix or the form which was expressing a content of energy. That content of energy, whether it be fear, jealousy, anger, or whatever it is known by everyone. This is what we mean when we say there are no private thoughts, no private experiences. The body, of course, has its unique experience. Only one body can be in a point of space at any given time. If you are making love in the middle of the night and you look around, you would swear nobody else is present. Rest assured, you live in glass houses. All things are perfectly visible to the entirety of creation. It is the energies that you are experiencing that everyone knows. The trick of healing and awakening is to come to see the neutrality of all energy so that you can choose to inform it with the value that the Holy Spirit would give it. Then time becomes sacred. It becomes eternal. It becomes a tool for love. Even the body becomes a tool that love uses to bring about healing. What other purpose could a body hope to have? So indeed, please do the exercise of making sure that there has not been a lesson that you have read with half a mind. Go back. If you wish, practice for 5 minutes as Christ and then begin the review of your lesson that your soul might absorb it. And when there are exercises to do, do them, even if it takes a minute. You cannot begin to see the pebble dropped into the pond. You cannot begin to see how the pebble dropped into the pond can have such vast and deep effects. If you would still choose to look upon me as one who did great things, rest assured, the effects that you come to know, that you came to know because certain stories were told about me and then finally written down, and some of those are a bit outlandish, those things came about because I too had teachers that showed me how to drop new pebbles into the pond of my mind. Their commitment and intent was the same as ours, which is to guide you into the fullness of your discipleship, into the transformation, until the transformation has been thoroughly completed on earth, that is, in the body mind, as it already is in heaven. For the correction has already occurred. It happened the moment you had the thought of separation, long before space and time were birthed. But you discover that the connection has indeed been fulfilled as you allow your creations in time, the body-mind, to be transformed, so that the conscious mind becomes perfectly aligned with what the depth of the capital S self already knows. And then, and only then, can the mind truly release the illusion of the third dimensional plane, the physical dimension, for it is simply seen as a useless limitation. So then, do this one thing. In each of your next 7 days, as often as you remember to do so, and you will only remember what you choose to value, in each of your next 7 days, as often as you remember to do so, decide to see time differently and to acknowledge that you are a disciple of the mind of Christ. Decide that nothing matters to you other than the simplicity of allowing the dissolution of illusions so that Christ can come and live where once the ego dwelt in authority. A simple exercise. And if a day goes by in which you forget, it can only be because in that day you have valued something else. And, as they've said so often throughout this book, that will be okay too. You will not be condemned. You will not be judged. You will not be punished. You are invited, as often as you think to do so, in the next 7 days, to awaken in the moment and choose to see how you might use time differently, how you might understand that in this moment, there's an equal opportunity for you to awaken as the Christ and an opportunity for you to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful, for you to choose to teach only love. And again, what they say in this work is that means you choose to share only loving thoughts. You may have all kinds of thoughts that are neutral or unloving, but you will value and share only loving thoughts. And each moment presents you that opportunity. Each moment is a gift. And if you choose, you may choose to use time differently, moment to moment. And then again, the invitation is to go back through the lessons. Perhaps before you start reviewing a lesson, to do the practice of sitting for 5 minutes in your chair as the Christ. And that will be whatever it is for you. There's no set of descriptions. There's no set of instructions step by step. There's no way that your conscious logical mind can predict what that will be. It can come when you align the head, the heart, and the gut, when you learn to live more from the heart, live in the question, ask to be shown, develop a momentum for that openness, that wide open honesty and questioning. And then so to speak, give the reins, give the control to something other than your conscious logical mind. Watch the thoughts that flow and step back and observe them. And then ask to be shown and step back and observe. But you're stepping back and observing with a focus on your conscious logical mind, your heart, and your gut. These three centers of information, of energy resonance, of enlightenment, of connection. And when all three are aligned and you ask to be shown, you'll have the ease of trusting that whatever happens next will be just fine. And you'll know it's just fine because it happened. It's life unfolding. And as you move into this process, you learn to trust the unfolding. And you learn to trust it more and more because you've worked at becoming a conduit for this energy of creation expressing in form, for the Christ mind. You work to become the servant, the Way of the Servant, I think, was one of the first books in this Christ Mind series. To understand that there's an entirely different way to think and move in this world than what we're taught with the conscious, logical mind in the Western world. And there's far more going on here than any one of us can know or see or feel with just our conscious, logical mind in any given moment. And yet, we are born with a capacity to develop that awareness. And this book and its exercises are providing a set of tools for help to help us do just that if that's what we choose. So that's the end of Lesson 23. It's one of those power punches. It's a short lesson, and yet it's packed with ideas of reference, ideas of questioning, ideas of stepping into a different experience of life, that if you're actually listening when they're being spoken, will stir up all kinds of intense reactions. Maybe positive excited, maybe fearful, maybe confusion. But it's pretty much guaranteed that if you're actually hearing what they're offering, you're not going to be neutral about it. You won't get bored with a set of tools like this, with what's being offered. So we have plenty of time for comments and questions. We've got about 17 minutes left. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. How is this landing for you? What is getting stirred up for you as you hear the challenge that this lesson provides? Again, there are several parts in here where it talks about when you begin to awaken and your mind awakens as this pathway is giving us tools to do, the ego is going to get crushed. And people say, well, you know, I thought we were talking about the ego as there's nothing wrong with the ego. It's just a tool. Yes, that's true. And yet the ego thinks it is far more important than it actually is. So it will seem as though it's getting crushed, when in actuality, it's just going to be awakening to its true nature, its true role in our nature. And, as a lot of these teachings point out, it's not going to go quietly, because it mistakenly thinks that it's what's important, that it's really doing all of the choosing and deciding and arranging and creating. But all the ego does is create illusion. And when it wakes up to that, it's quite a shock to the system. it's okay, and yet it doesn't feel okay to the ego, because the ego is having to come to realize that what it thought was so important about itself is all in error. It's not a bad thing. It's just a very simple thing. It's like taking one little part of an internal combustion engine and saying it's the most important part of all. But even if you have that part, there's no engine. Right? If all you have is that one part, there's no engine. Well, you're going to have your conscious logical mind and your egoic thought. It isn't a bad thing to have that in the sense of these grander awakenings, to think that that's all there is, or that that's the most important part, or that that's all we should listen to, because that's like taking the carburetor off of an engine and trying to use it to get it down the road. You need a lot more than the carburetor. You need the whole thing. And so in that sense, the ego is not a bad thing. It's just a part. And it has a very specific, very simple role to play. And we're living in a culture that's come over time to believe and to train us to believe that the ego is the most important part. And essentially, in some degrees, that the ego is all there is. And there's a lot more going on here than just your thoughts about yourself and just your conscious logical mind. So, 563-999-3581. About 12 minutes left. How can we support you today? What is on your mind? How would it be useful to spend the next 12 minutes? Area code 610, is this Susan?
Hi, Dr. Tim. Oh.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, you know, it comes down always, it just comes down to having to deal with the ego and its trigger reactions. And I had an incident in the park this morning, which took me back to step one all over again. And I am just amazed at how much I want to be right. It's the same stuff. It's even embarrassing to push one and talk about it. I have two sets of questions. One of them is that immediate, I'll tell you the scene. It's just dawn, and I've talked to park rangers. It's okay to run our dog off the leash in the early morning. I've had this happen before. Three men come barreling through. They're walking fast, and my son's dog runs up to greet them. She has seen them before. One of them pulls back from the group and yells at me, "Your dog should be on a leash." And I said, "Oh, I know." And he said, "Well, why isn't she on a leash?" And I said, "Because I like to let her run early in the morning." And a couple more things were said. And then as he was walking away, he said, "You must be a Democrat." And I thought, there it is. There's the whole thing that's happening in our whole country. We put each other into these little slots, and I said, "Well, I am, actually." You know, I'm sure he was thinking, "You rule-stretching, rule-breaking, entitled," you know, he had a whole other, I imagine he had this whole thing going on in his head, as did I. I thought, well, what about you with this former president who has broken every rule in the book, and how can you go after me for letting my dog off a leash when the ranger said it was okay? I didn't say this to him, but there we go. And for the half of the rest of my walk, I'm doing this thing about I give up. I'm doing the patter. I give up my need to be right. I give up my want to be right. I give up my knowing that I'm right and wanting to punch him in the nose. I give up my need to have this worksheet get anything out of this worksheet. I give up my need for having him be different or me be different or the worksheet to do anything. Dr. Tim, I wasted so much energy just going through something I go through on a fairly regular basis, maybe, you know, less long or perhaps. Anyway, I haven't learned a damn thing. There you go.
Well, I don't think that's as accurate a description as to say the old patterns still have a lot of momentum.
They do.
Well, that's not the same as saying I haven't learned a darn thing.
Yeah. Well, I did the Prager Band thing, too. I said, I'm going to bless you, I thought to myself. So, here, I'm blessing you. So it was like pounding him over the head with a blessing. It didn't really do anything right then, but
well, that's
anyway.
That's because that's not the Prager Band thing. Right?
I know,
the Prager Band thing
version
is the deeply heartfelt, then the energy that's deeply loving from a heart-centered space. And so if you're doing it through gritted teeth, it's not the Prager Band thing.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm in that place and I'd like to do the Prager Band thing, but all I think is I'm so mad I want to spit nails, then I use other tools to dismantle all of that hurt, sadness, and fear in me that's underlying the anger. Because we understand in this work, anger is always a secondary emotion to pain, fear, and sadness.
Yep. That's true.
And when you do that and you return yourself to that calm, centered space, and then you send that energy out from that loving space, you'll get very different results, because that is the Prager Band thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. You're right.
It's like the difference between just listening to the Way of Mastery and actually staying tuned in day in and day out to the energy flow, to the thoughts, to the choices, right? And there's like on this walk today, you were at least using the tools, which is tremendous improvement over where you were before you learned these tools, where you would just go with your mind and all of its rationalizations for how you were right and the other person who, you know, called you a Democrat as though that was something disgusting, is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, instead of just going along with that, you chose to, as you walked, cancel goals and see where it might take you and practice being in the space of understanding the truth of the limitations of those conscious logical thoughts. And the more I practice that, the better I get at recognizing it in the moment. You know, these are really powerful tools. They don't magically transform everything all the time, and yet they're very, very powerful tools. And with practice and with the choice to continue to turn my mind energy to that practice, to change the momentum, to choose again, as the Course in Miracles would tell us to do, with that, things start to make a difference. I begin to feel the difference. Chances are really good, even if you didn't experience a tremendous shift today, that the way you've been engaging these tools over the years means you won't spend anywhere near as long in the upset after an event like that this morning as you would have 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Well, that's true. That is true. I'm just surprised at the strength of the
media. You're just surprised
react.
That you're not done yet?
Yeah. Or that it's still so powerful. Maybe you can get through it faster, but it's just still very powerful.
Right, but how many decades did we have the training that poured the mind energy into that negativity to make ourselves think that we're right and the other person's wrong? How many decades of that conditioning do I have to overcome? More than just one or two.
And it's true, at least I've thought that the stakes seem very high now. I mean, that little conversation could spread itself out of into all sorts of other areas about the danger we're in with climate change and the fact that we're at loggerheads, half the country half the country is divided against the other half, and will this ever give way to a unified thing? What do we need?
It's just thoughts.
Yeah.
Just what are you doing with the thoughts? They've got their own momentum. They've got a lot of momentum behind them. Here's a little thing to help us recognize how much we live on autopilot. You know, I have this office that I've been in for a lot of years now, over 20-some years, and the bathroom in the hallway for all of that time has had a little white wastebasket right off the end of the counter, right between the counter and the toilet. It's on the left. So you finish washing your hands, grab the towel from the right, dry your hands, and drop it into the wastebasket. Well, a new owner in the building within the past 2 weeks has decided, you know what, we need a new wastebasket in a new position. So it's like twice as tall, and it's got a lid on it, and it's not between the toilet and the counter. And you see it when you open the door. It's there. It's black. It's big. It's bold. How many times, even though I keep telling myself, remember to throw it back, how many times have I, in the past couple of weeks, dried my hands and dropped the paper towel off the end of the counter where there's no wastebasket? We are creatures of habit. It's part of what makes it easy for us to function in the world. It is not such a good thing in terms of thought, in terms of our generating emotional states. And it's what we're invited to change, right? To use time differently to change that very thing. What am I doing with my habit of thought? I'm invited to understand how well the mind has been trained. And that part of my mind that just automatically throws the paper towel is a wonderful thing, because if I had to relearn how to drive a car every time I drove my car, it would not be very efficient. Right. I wouldn't get much done. So there's a place for that autopilot. It just does not serve us well when the autopilot for our thought processes lead us to create anger, fear, sadness, and emotional hurt. And when we wake up and recognize that it's us doing that, then we have a series of options that present themselves. But if we're not aware, we don't have a choice. So, Jeannie has showed up on the switchboard. Thank you for raising your hand and helping us with these comments and questions. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you very much.
You're very welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to a new week. Today is Monday, October the 10th, 2022. And our calling number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. While we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I'll just share we had gone this morning. That's why I was a little late getting dialed into the show. But we went down to American House. They had ordered, or we had ordered, a new wheelchair for him. And it tilts back and it stands up and it does all kinds of things. So he's more comfortable. It gets him off of his bed sores. And so hopefully it'll open up a new round of therapy with him, too, that they can work with him on how to propel himself in this chair. And so anyway, it was a good day, and then we played dominoes with him, and he actually was right on with us, and he beat us. So
hands
it was
down.
Really good. Yep, yep. It's really good.
And he was all thumbs
so
up
anyway,
and very proud of himself.
So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted and honored that you're here, that all things are moving forward in this realm of first century Aramaic forgiveness. Gardens are buttoning up for the winter, getting ready for some of those winter crops. Our broccoli is just huge, like the leaves in the broccoli plants are about a foot in diameter. And so we're looking forward to those fall plants coming into harvestable mode, although we're only going to be about another week, and we're on the road to Kansas City to see our newest granddaughter, Kaylee Jo, and we're going to make a stop and see Krista and her two little ones, Adeline and Avery Catherine. And so we're going to be hang out a little bit for those who know Michael J. You probably haven't met his wife yet, but we'll be hanging out with Jamie and Michael J. for about 10 days as we make our journey up there. And other than that, we are just kind of settling in to winter coming here, although our weather's been beautiful. We've had several 70, 75-degree sunny days. It's been absolutely gorgeous, but it's getting down. It looks like a couple nights from now we're going to get some freezing. It's going to go down to 31. At least it's projected to do that. So winter's on its way, which is a gift, and we're enjoying it. So, Ms. Jean, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet. And if you're connected with us on Facebook, and you've also seen that we're, you know, we're doing YouTube and learning how to do things, but we have created a bee balm salve. We have harvested our lemongrass and our lemon balm and enjoying some awesome tea. And so we're just really learning some things and making some things, filling up the pantry. We're blessed.
I think Miss Jeannie's bee balm is probably going to be a hit. And I don't know, you've had three good nights with sleep. Should we talk about the lemon balm?
We can. I think it's a combination of several things, but the lemon balm tea has definitely been part of it. And, you know, I've always had a little bit of a challenge staying asleep. You know, I go to sleep almost immediately, and then in about 4 hours, then I'm tossing and turning and flipping and flopping. And so a couple of things is, one, I'm always up by 7:30. So one of the keys is I need to go to bed by 11 in order, because counting my wake-up times, then that would give me between 7 and 8 hours of sleep. So going to bed earlier, not eating within 2 hours of going to bed. So we've cut out snacking and stuff in the evening while we're watching TV, and then doing the bee balm tea right before going to sleep. And I have gotten several nights of 8 hours of sleep, and actually the not last night, but night before last, 2.5 hours in REM sleep and 2 hours and something in deep sleep, which is amazing. So I think the lemon balm is really a big part.
You said bee balm, and that's
addition
the salve.
To that.
Right. The lemon or the bee balm is the salve that you made. But the lemon balm tea, 3 nights, very specific, you know, drinking a whole glass of it, to me, what I'm watching, that's made the big shift. So look for some lemon balm tea, or who knows, maybe we'll turn our home here into a herb farm. There's some awesome stuff that Jeannie's growing and making. It's pretty cool.
We've got a couple of hands up.
Oh, well, let's say hello.
First one is 541, Miss Belinda. Hi.
Hi, and how are you doing these days?
Rock and roll.
Other than what you just shared with us on the phone call, that's great. Well, I was thinking of you because of the garden that you're mentioning, and one of the words that keeps popping up in the Way of Mastery and Dr. Tim's show that is cultivation and cultivating and cultivator, and I'm really, really linking the Way of Mastery with my garden in some pretty awesome intuitive ways. So I thought I'd share that. We're having balmy weather here too, no rain. And we have about the same temperatures, we're a little warmer than you are, which surprised me amazingly for this fall. It might be totally different next fall. So I haven't planted a fall garden this year. I'm not the best planner, but I have been experimenting with the permaculture Hugel beds, but instead of making them 6 feet tall and 30 feet long and 6 feet wide, my little mini Hugel culture bed is beginning to show promising results. I flattened it out, the first two ones I made this year, because I had put a lot of heavy-duty wood in them and what I would consider logs, but I need to get those logs out for one more Hugel culture bed. And hopefully by next year, they'll be much more decomposed. But my takeaway from all of that is Jeannie and Michael, my earthworms in that bed are absolutely amazing. My little Hugo.
They love that organic matter.
Ah, so much. So anyway, I can share with you my little process. I'll just text it to you. And then you can play with it if you like or not. They're very small. They're about 3 feet wide and about, I hope to have them. I'm going to remound them, but not this fall. I'll do that next fall because I want to go on with the rest of my fall getting the whole garden to bed. Next year I'll have a fall crop. But I also let a lot of the seeds fall in the bed. And I'm harvesting bunches of arugula that I didn't even plant. Nature planted them. So I'm hoping eventually, as a very lazy gardener, that eventually nature and I will come to some co-creative agreement where I let her plant in the fall and I take care and husband woman. Well, I don't know how you'd say husband in a female sense. Maybe it never
wife.
Was.
Wife.
Huswife.
Husband
really means originally just being on the land and taking care of it. And so I was just going to say maybe it's not even a genitive word, you know, maybe it's just what it is. So just to mother the soil. How about that one?
Yes.
The mother thing. Me and Gaia. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And
cool.
I'm looking forward to a greenhouse. And I'm making the connection with the way of mastery, that I may be gardening in the garden, but I'm actually gardening my soul. So I wanted to share that with you.
Very sweet. We've done one of our, I built a compost bin, three-part compost bin, put a bunch of logs at the very bottom, and I've been stacking things up and watching how that's breaking down and what's happening there. And then we've got one other spot that's actually in the earth where we've put some logs and some of the heavier things. So that's kind of fun. One of the other discoveries that I made is we put pathways. You know, you can go to Lowe's or one of those places, and you can buy a 12-by-12 clay tile. And we put between the beds with these clay tiles. And what I discovered earlier this year is that the cardboard that I'd laid under these things have been, you know, really turned into some nice black soil. And so I pulled the tiles up and used that compost just to put up on the beds. And so what I've been doing this whole growing season is every time we get some heavy, you know, vines and such like we got from our, you know, squash and such. I've been cutting those up and putting them under the tile. And every time we unpack a box, instead of sending it off to recycle, I've been recycling it by just keeping building up underneath the tile. And it seems that the heat and the moisture that it composts really fast and makes a ready compost just put right up on top of the beds. And then, you know, next year we'll do another, well, actually probably all winter, and at least as long as I can get the tile up out of the ground, I'll just keep putting cardboard boxes under it and letting that decay and create a nice handy compost right there in the garden.
What a great metaphor for the soul, yes?
Absolutely.
It's amazing,
yes, ma'am.
It's amazing how closely the two of you are exploring your gardening experience to mine, because I have also discovered that the paths are rich sources of soil. Have I shared with you already? And if I have, please stop me, about composting in the pathways.
Well, that's in essence what we're doing with the patio stones on top of it to really drives heat down into the soil and helps that compost to break down in the pathways.
Well, I hadn't thought of the tiles, but if they're just plain clay tiles, those tiles will also break down eventually and become part of the process. How cool. If they're
for
not,
sure.
Yeah. Which reminds me of the Southwest gardening as we go into drier climate, the Southwest. And I hope you got that Oregon State University water permaculture.
I did.
Water-wise. Good. And the only reason I signed up for it was because they promised that I would get all the archives. I'm not going to sit in front of the computer for 10 hours for 3 days or however long it is to get through all the presenters. But anyway, so I registered so I could get all of those archives in perpetuity. And so, and then in the winter when I can't garden, maybe I can take some of that time and start looking at all that. So anyway, and the Southwest gardening, have you heard of the ollas? That's what the desert gardeners use. They make clay pots with little tiny skinny necks. They bury the clay pots, have a little top for them that comes off, and they fill them with water, and they plant their plants around those ollas. And then at some point, of course, they disintegrate because the plant's roots will go and grab onto the olla and get the water through that. It's one of the most water-wise ways that I can think of to garden. So we may all be gardening.
Wisdom.
Gardening at some point. And that's it. I didn't mean to run off on the show about gardening, But,
I think it's an important part of what we're doing.
I do too. I'm sorry. Go.
No, go ahead.
I've heard one quote that has stuck with me. The most revolutionary thing we can do is to be a gardener. And the other thing, I was just thinking on that, I would say it's also the most revolutionary thing we can do.
It definitely opens a space. I'm working on an article called Healing from the Ground Up, and recognize that real healing doesn't happen if we don't start with the earth. Nothing above the earth thrives until the earth is healthy, until the soil is actually soil, and you can't grow food in dirt. So that's kind
that's
of
right.
Something that I've been learning. And there's actually, and I'll just ask everybody to hold the space for us. There's actually a garden shop that we used to go to buy our plants. And when we went to buy plants back a couple of months ago, the place was all closed up. It was a place that, you know, I think a grandfather and then the son took it over, had built and built and built and built. And, you know, it's just all these wooden structures with plastic tops and, I mean, huge space. We went to buy some plants, and they were gone. Find out that the son had passed away, and it was abandoned. And there's an abandoned house beside it. So we're holding the space. One of our projects we're working on is to create some community gardens in the less fortunate part of town, and we're holding the space that we're ultimately going to be able to utilize, this piece of property that's just sitting abandoned, to support, to be part of that. So hold the space for that if you would. And the house that's connected to it is kind of an old rickety house, but I can see it becoming a space for homeless people who want something to do with community and gardening and, you know, earning a livelihood, being able to put a roof over their head. So if everybody just hold the space for that whole project, that would be appreciated. We're
going
to do the best we can to move that out into the community. Say again?
I certainly will. And I have a lady in LeGrand where they had a project that sounds very similar. And what I can do, because they were rebuilding the house to make it habitable and had a great big yard for a garden, and they had the same mission. And I'll see if it really got off the ground and how it's going. And if there's any information I can share with you and Jeannie, I'll be happy to share that.
Sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find out and tell you what the results were. Yeah. And so I'm very excited for both of you. I have sent a contribution off. Hopefully it'll get there in time for Julie, but if not, it doesn't matter. And then as long as somebody else has stepped up to the plate. But it should get to you there before the 15th, so we should be good. And
Sweet, awesome. Just
made a donation, but you apply it wherever you need it most for the Kabouras Institute.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And
yes, if all right. And for those who maybe weren't on the show last week, Miss Julie, out in Oregon, who's moving to Spain, big project there, put forward an offer that she would match any donations, and we're looking at how to fill in with the fact that Heartland's closed due to COVID, and of course it still takes, you know, $400 to $500 a month of electricity to keep it running, keep fans and cooler on and those sorts of things that you can't really shut off out in the woods. And then the fact that we're not on the road has created a bit of a collapse of cash flow. And so Julie volunteered that any donations anybody makes, and if you're, you know, if this work's benefiting you and you're in a position to, we invite you to support it. Keep it rocking. You'll notice we don't have commercials on this show. We pay to do it. We don't get to do it. And it's here because we want to make the conversation available literally to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. We're certainly hugely appreciative of Blog Talk Radio that we get to have this space where anybody on the planet who has access to the internet can be part of this conversation and or can go back into the archives. We've got thousands of hours in the archives. And, of course, supporting all of that takes cash flow. And if you'd like to contribute to that, up until the 15th especially, Miss Julie has generously offered to match donations up to $1,000. So we appreciate that, Julie. And other than that, young lady, I hold the space for your wondrous garden. There is a program out there. I'll have to see if I can find it. My son had sent it to me that actually is tied to a calendar, and you can do, you know, keep a record of all of your plantings and what was successful and what wasn't, and your calendar for your next planting season and such. So you might find that useful. So, Miss Jeannie, you said you had a couple of hands up. Do we have another hand in the phone queue?
We did, and I don't know where he went. It was Joe, so maybe he'll call right back in. I did just get a text and wanted to know I'm reading. Are you short of the 1,000 that she will match? And if so, how much? So do you have a total that of what we've gotten so far?
I don't have a number at this moment, no.
But it wasn't 1,000 yet. It's like 700,
right,
or yep, something like that.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, okay. And so let me see if Joe's back on. Let's see here.
He may have been at the office, and so he may not have been able to hold someone just sending him a text saying you're on if you're available.
Yeah, he's not on there right now. So if someone has a question, I know there were a couple of people that you've talked to lately and they kind of had some sideline questions and you said call into the show. That would be an excellent question for the show. So if you're one of those people, press 1. Or if you have another question, press 1. Okay, another number just went up, and 864, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Joe.
Hey,
well,
how
hey,
you
young,
doing,
young
man?
Good to hear your voice, and did the homework assignment piece that Jeannie sent you, was that what you were looking for on the codependence intensive?
Yes.
Good, good.
Exactly. Yeah, yes, thank you, Jeannie. But I wanted to call in because just questioning how much of a codependent life I live in. I mean, I just find myself, you know, if I have to tell somebody that, you know what, I mean, I had a great time, we went out to dinner, had a nice evening and so forth, but, you know, there just wasn't, you know, I don't want to see you again. Oh, my God. I set up a goal that I'm going to crush him, you know, and I don't want to do that. But I guess the joyful thing is I tell the person, you know what, it just didn't happen for me. I don't want to, you know, have any more relationship. And they're like, okay, fine. Thank you. I'm like, well, is that it? Aren't you just crushed? And so anyway, it's just my, you know, I set up those goals where I feel and think in this manner of depending on the outcome of what they do. And I just find myself saying, okay, there's another worksheet. There's more, you know, there's more work to be done to just, you know, hold the space for myself when I'm moving and doing things every day. So.
For sure.
I don't know if I have a question in there, but it's just...
Well, I have an answer.
It's just... That's why
you,
I call.
You have a question. I got an answer.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to call in because it's going really... I'm really... It's like you had, you know, you had said, what else is there to do? I mean, I certainly am at work right at the moment, but I'd rather be doing that because it's just... It's unfolding in a nice way, or in a way that's okay. Wow, I, you know, reached another level of vitality, I think, in my life, and you know, ready for this new new teaching and understanding and new practice. You know, that's really my favorite word anymore. So thank you.
I hear you. And my question to you would be, as I listen to your speech, and this may point to the next worksheet for you, is in relationship with your power person, did you ever feel crushed? Big breath.
I think that, I'm you know, it's interesting when you ask those kind of questions as to history and my power person being my mother, and to speak to, you know, whether it was crushed or whether it was, I think I really, what came to me is I really felt, or maybe I, you know, correctly or incorrectly, but it was like walking on eggs. It was, you know, watch out, you know, and just be careful. So yeah, there was, I guess, you know, the answer to the question would simply be, yeah, there was times when it was, you know, time to be crushed and, uh-oh, you know, and it happened.
So are you at the stage in the course yet where we've introduced the power person worksheet?
I don't think so. I'm like, no, I don't think so. The power in terms, no, I haven't seen a, I mean, I would have asked Jeannie, you know, for the worksheet.
Right. Okay. Well, here's my thought as I listen to your words. Remember, Shakespeare told us, my words fly out, my thoughts remain below. If I listen to my words, you're going to tell me what's happening in my unconscious. And when you spoke about how, as you announced to someone that you're not willing or interested in relationship with them anymore, your surprise at them not being crushed would tend to indicate that. Remember, once a power person dynamic is installed in the mind, there are only three behaviors possible.
Right. Yep.
And they're all related to the level of stress we're under. Stress, remembering, being created by goals. So when there's little or no stress, I'll do what I did to get along with my power person. And when stress starts to build, I'll do what I did to resist and survive with my power person. And then when I become ultra-stressed, I'll do what my power person did to me that I hated the most. And so if you're speaking about a situation where there were a lot of goals, therefore high level of stress, and then you're surprised that they weren't crushed, which would indicate that your unconscious intention, and probably coming from power person dynamic, was to play out crushing them.
Yeah.
And that'll be a really good one to be free of.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's
you know, if someone, you know, to get to the point where if someone disappoints you in your goals, quote unquote, that what you do, well, let me do it with a metaphor, with an example. There's a really awesome story in the ancient scriptures where Yeshua goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he bleeds out his pain. He goes into healing crisis, and he steps out of the garden, and he's at, like, he's rocking. He's at full vitality because he's just detoxed. I mean, you listen to that story of the garden, and we're totally sweat blood. As a naturopath, if somebody were in a deep healing crisis and moving through a lot of old genetic stuff and such, it would quite possibly look like the body would release by sweating blood. That would be part of the healing crisis. So he comes out of the garden. Here's Peter, who has asked on the way to the garden, how many swords should we bring? And Yeshua said, oh, just bring one, which I can only imagine, you know, what's Peter want to do? He wants to make war. He's in the world mindset. He's not functioning as a human being. He's talking about his power person dynamics. And Yeshua says, just bring one. And can you imagine the excitement? You know, here's his hero, Yeshua, and he's going to have this one sword, and he's going to wipe out the whole Roman army, because that's what it's really all about, is getting rid of Rome. And the representative of Rome, the high priest servant, they're in cahoots with the Sanhedrin and all. The high priest servant comes, and Peter is going to protect him. You know, it's like Peter says, you know, we'll yeah. save you from this. And it's interesting that Yeshua calls Peter then Satan. He says, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right.
For you think in the mind, and then he defines what he means by Satan, for you think in the mind of man rather than the plan of God.
Right.
So you're in your own perceptual construct, carbon-based memories, showing you realities, and, you know, you're trapped in that, and that literally is trapped in Satan. And then, you know, here's the high priest servant. Yeshua knows exactly what the high priest servant's going to do, and Peter's going to stop it, and he raises his sword to take off the high priest servant's head. Fortunately, he just gets an ear, and Yeshua says to him, again, that's where they get thee behind me. And Yeshua functions as a human being with this person who's going to mercilessly slaughter him. I mean, he knows what's coming.
Right.
He's proven. Yeah. He's very intuitive. He knows what the high priest servant's going to do to his body.
Mm-hmm.
But after that detox in the garden, connectedness to love, instead of, you know, whacking on the high priest servant and said, get the hell out of here now, you'll get your due. What does he do? He turns to the archenemy, and he offers him love, and he heals him. That's what humans do. That's what actual humans do. But there aren't many, though, on the earth. You know, like, he's one of the few examples we've got of it. What would the average person do with somebody who they know is going to trash their whole bodies? I mean, literally rip them to shreds. They're going to put up the biggest fight and try to kill them, make war. And Yeshua offers... Instead of crushing, good breath, Yeshua offers healing to get to the point where the only thing we do, whatever somebody else is doing, is offering healing. And when we can't, there's our next big piece of work.
Right.
The people you're most intimately connected to are the ones that are going to reach into the deepest parts of your field and show you that those parts. Because once you... intercourse with someone, you exchange genetics, you've handed them your whole genetic structure, and you've taken on theirs. And that means you become expert at giving each other the opportunity to learn forgiveness.
That's what's happening, yeah.
And to keep coming back as a human being is the challenge. When the mind says, no, 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 this is the archenemy. Oh, they're going to... What I should do is crush them.
Yeah, rather than avoid doing a worksheet.
Or avoid doing... There you go. So
well,
like,
there's a good reason.
Know, you're chewing on this in a whole, at a whole new level.
Yeah.
Now, there's another great passage where... A number of disciples are with Yeshua, and they ask him, you know, what do we need to do to please the Creator? And Yeshua tells him, he gives them actually an idiom, but basically says you need to function as a human being, as love, with everything and everybody in your life. And to complete the metaphor, so he tells them that, and literally half of the disciples that were there say too hard a saying, and they leave, and they never come back. And that's the half that's the people who aren't interested in doing their work. They want an easy Jesus saves instead of, oh, I have to do my work. So half of them leave, and it's interesting because the answer he gives them when they say, what do we have to do? If you read that passage, he says, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood, which, you know, in our modern world, that means go to communion. Like, and they say too hard a saying. What's so hard a saying about that? It obviously isn't about going to communion. And it's interesting if you read, I haven't got this based in the Aramaic. I'm not sure if the same nuance is there, but I suspect it is. And in the Greek, there are two times where he offers that advice. And in one case, according to the Greek translations, the word he uses is when it's eat my body, drink my blood. It's like a word that would represent sitting down and having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And to eat my body and drink my blood is an idiom that means you have to learn and carry out everything that I've done and carried out in order to, that's the answer to the question. So, if you use that idiom in today's culture, you'll always use an example of, let's imagine that I'm a cabinet maker and I make the absolute finest cabinets in the world. And Joe comes to me and says, Michael, I want to learn how to make cabinets like you do. What do I have to do? If I were Aramaic, I'd say you have to eat my body and drink my blood.
Yeah. All right.
Which would mean you're going to have to know everything about, how to make pegs and how to, select woods and how to select finishes and how to select sandpaper and, all the things that are involved. You're going to have to know all of that. That's what eat my body and drink my blood means. So the
many
first time,
facets.
Right, all of it. You're going to have to do all of it. You're going to have brain cells for the whole gamut. And most people are like, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Tell me everything you know. But that's not how it works.
I like $5 in 5 minutes, though. I do. Sorry.
Yeah, I remember just a month or so ago, you're saying, I already got all that handled. Remember? Oh, you don't remember that conversation. Okay, we'll forget that. Anyway, the place I'm heading.
I appreciate that.
It's interesting. Yeah. The first time he says that, he uses the Greek word is like to sit down and have dinner would be the way they interpret it. But then the second time, the word that's used, according to the Greek translations, is like a dog would gnaw on a bone. You've got to gnaw on this.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I hear you doing at a new level with your personal
work, your
personal internal work. It's like you're going for every little refinement and you just gnaw and gnaw until you, that's it. And then it's not too hard a thing. It's the most delightful thing that ever happened. It's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got together with Brenda yesterday afternoon, and it's my, you and I have talked about her, and it's just, I think it's such a gift.
Well, actually, we've never talked about her, but we've talked about you, yes.
Yeah, well, in terms of, what kind of trauma has gone on. We're in a new place, or we're going to go forward. And I find myself, being grateful to her, and shared that with her yesterday, to say thank you, because this has really, for me, I've got the, computer and my, and all that, all my sheets and so forth on my desk and working and listening to the videos and so forth. And she just took one look at that and was like, holy cow, what is all this? And it's for me, it's just, in time, hopefully you'll pick up on this or not. But for me, this is where I'm at right now. And this is what I'm working on. And it's just, it is annoying. It's just like, I can't get enough of it at present. And I know that, I've had this conversation with you before where it's just, one day at a time and be patient, but do your worksheets, So
when I'm trying to think of the time frame, when was the first intensive you did was Hartford City, right?
In Indiana?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Was that your first intensive?
Sister Joe? Remember Sister
Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with
so
her.
What year, Patrick? Or
oh God,
Father Keith. Yeah.
You know what I mean,
that was 20
in the 90s.
Yeah, so that's 25, 27 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So notice what you've been doing for the last almost three decades is building brain cells for understanding the work that half of Yeshua's disciples walked away and said to her the same. Beware that you don't expect her to catch up with you next week.
Right.
Because she's not. I mean, it's second nature to you. You've been doing it for 30 years, and it can be, well, how could you not understand this? Well, you cannot understand
right,
it if you don't have the brain cells, and it takes that kind of time. It takes that kind of gnawing to have the brain cells to even, for the mind to be able to even start to show a shadow of what the true work is.
It is a, she gives me the reminder, or anyone can give me the reminder of this work. That what's most important to me is that idea that you shared was, hey, Joe, you're talking in terms of something outside of you is causing the way you feel inside. I blame you for this, or I blame her for that. And the understanding is to hold and look at and say, okay, what is it that is causing or triggering, or why do I want to, you know, be unhappy and follow the course and try to, you know, root out, you know, go talk about gardening, you're getting the weeds out.
Becoming acquainted with one's own unconscious mind is the most gigantic task on earth. I mean, you know, nuclear physics is a breeze. You know, outer space exploration is nothing. Taking a man to the moon, taking a man, nothing compared to becoming acquainted
this
with
work.
And cleaning up your own unconscious mind, which has been in development for thousands of years. You know, you do the numbers and you look back just 30 generations, and in your genes, in my genes, there are 1.6 billion lives. With all of the ups and downs, and I mean, think about in history what, you know, the suffering you've been through, the pain, the trauma, the conflict you've been through, the conflict you or I or any of us, you know, your parents, you watched your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, you watch what they've gone through and what they're going through. And then you start thinking back, what was going on 50 years ago, two generations back, 50 years before that, another two generations back, 100 years before that, what was going on with the 10,000 ancestors that were in my bloodline then?
Mm.
And then that 10,000, you know, in just one more generation, you know, doubles out, triples out, quadruples out, and in 30 generations, we're dealing with 1.6 billion lives that have had input to our unconscious dynamics. Becoming acquainted with that is the most gigantic piece of work that anybody could ever conceive.
But I also am reminded that I'm also reminded that the opposite is true, or maybe I didn't say that right, but I think you said it this morning in one of the videos, was that once the access to love, then a lot of it can be cleared up. Because what happens is when I hear you talking, I get overwhelmed.
Yes.
Yeah, I get overwhelmed. It's like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. This worksheet's not going to mean anything. Maybe there's that one, or this one, or that one. There's millions of them. You know, there's millions of worksheets.
You know what? In that moment, you know what the meaningful worksheet will be?
Hmm.
The worksheet on being overwhelmed. And wanting to be able to control and understand the process. That would be the goal, to be doing that worksheet on.
Yeah.
You know, you think about that story of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the overwhelm.
Yeah. So the flooding is the overwhelming work to be done, or, you know, I don't like the word work either. There's another worksheet. It's just an adventure, really. It's just exploration.
And healing.
And healing, of course.
That's
of course.
It's all about. But there's a point where that flood of emotion, that flood of disintegrative mind energy, that flood of pain seems like it is going to destroy everything.
I have a meeting here at 2 o'clock. I have a meeting at 2 o'clock with a customer who basically neglected his vehicle, and he's coming in here, and you know we had to come up with a number of $17,000, and we've reduced it to $13,000. And you know he has his agenda, we have ours, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, what your advice would be when you know you're going into. I mean, I know he's already mentioned lawyers once, and it's like, you know, once I hear that, I just shut down. It's like, I don't want to, you know, don't talk to me about lawyers, because that's, you know,
right.
We're going to keep going. We're going to go forward together, aren't we? Because, you know, we shared this number with you, and now we're going to share this number with you. We want to continue the partnership. I'm curious what your thoughts are. There's a lot of other dynamics involved. I mean, he's been a good customer, and we've done a lot of service for him and so forth, so.
So my input would be, as I listen to your language around it, is that when you're feeling attacked, it sounds like what you want to do is shut down and exit.
Right. That's the power person.
His mentioning of lawyers is shut down and,
right.
You know,
right.
This is an attack,
yep.
That I don't want to handle. It's going to crush me.
Right.
So the worksheet would be, you know, with him perhaps as the object of attention, and wanting him to be reasonable, gentle, and cooperative, just like you wanted your power person to be. And then the challenge will be for you to show up as conscious, active, present love with a conscious conversation, instead of defaulting to power person dynamics and playing out the power person with him. I mean, there's part of the healing right there.
Yeah.
That breath is where the energy moves.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
So how about a quick mind shifter?
Go.
So maybe you can work on between now and 2 o'clock. It'll be short, but it'll move some energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe, healing, and easy. For me to function as love, presence of people is safe, healing, and easy. Are you breathing?
Yeah. Well, I'm writing, so. Okay, thanks. It's safe, easy.
You're not allowed to write and
healing.
Breathe at the same time?
Listen, you know what? Jeannie, heal my light.
Go ahead.
Okay? It's safe, healing, and easy for me to
function as love. As love.
Function in present? No. Safe, healing,
no,
and easy
as love.
For me to function. Okay, to function as
love.
As love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Stay in a conscious conversation.
Stay conscious.
With people who want to crush me. Breath.
With people who want to crush me. It's safe, healing, and easy for me to function as love and stay in conscious conversation with people who want to crush me.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Fabulous.
That's it. All right, friend. We'll be holding the space for there. Good. That's the breath that moves the energy out and makes it safe, healing, and easy to just function as love, no matter what
Amen.
Somebody else is doing.
Talk to you later.
All right. We appreciate
Thank you.
Blessings. All right.
Bye. Blessings. Bye.
Cool. Nice work. And that's the purpose, you know, what Joe is doing right now. He started just about, oh, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, Jane. He purchased the codependence to interdependence intensive. And that's a 90-hour self-study intensive, 90 hours of video. that puts together why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, and codependence to interdependence, along with mind shifters and still point breathing. And it's a self-study course, comes in, you know, there's a personal code evaluation that comes with the course at the beginning and then another one at the end. So you've got a pinpoint on exactly where the issues are, the assignments are for what your specific challenges are, and then go through the course at a self-paced rate. Again, there's 90 full hours of video that covers all of the material of those courses. And so if anybody's ready to take your work to the next level and challenge your breath like Joe just did and move through things, the course is available. You can drop Jeannie a note. It's on our website. If you look at events under website, just description of it. And the cost of the whole self-study course. And then, of course, as you know, with Joe calling in today, we're here live 5 days a week to answer questions and to offer support in processing what comes up. And so if you're interested in doing that and taking your work to the next level, if you've not done the codependence work before, or even if you have, because this course, I mean, a lot of things changed in significant ways. Actually, a worksheet that I've done on the codependence intensive for 25 years, hadn't changed in 25 years, is a whole totally new and different worksheet. The communication worksheet, again, it's been 20 or 22, 23 years since I did the original communication worksheet. Had added a few times, but it's been unchanged in 20 years. Thank you to Magda, that's her favorite tool. She chose to be the practicum, the practice person in the intensive, and her questions, her search, her wanting to understand, again, totally changed. That worksheet was for 20-plus years a one-page worksheet. It's now 3 pages. And it's still, actually, I'm still editing it. So thank you, Magda, for that gift. But if you're ready to take your work to the next level, that's another way you can support us. And the, you know, $600 for 90 hours of video, all the process work, all the teaching, all the questions, answers. It's an awesome piece of work. So if you're interested, you can drop Jeannie a note, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. Or if you have my phone number, you can call me. We'll have a conversation about it and get you set up to do it. And if you need to break the cost up some, then you know, I'm happy to work with you. And then, so it's a self-study, self-paced, and then the radio show's here for live support and questions. So thank you for tapping in, Joe. And Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody else in the phone queue with the hand up? Anything else happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet. So come on, somebody, press one. Put you first in line. We've got 6 minutes. We've got time for a quick question.
Everybody's questions are always quick. Go ahead, Jeannie.
While we're waiting on somebody to press one, and yes, go ahead and press, and I'll quit talking as soon as I see your hand go up. This was something that, you know, I have worked on too, and it resonated when Joe was talking about, you know, telling him that he didn't want to continue in a relationship and thinking that they would be crushed, and they weren't. And so this is a PhD, Stephen Rose, and he says, the need to be needed is rooted in our need for a sense of contribution to something beyond ourselves. When this need is unfulfilled, in case of job loss, divorce, breakup, so I was thinking of him too, or significant life transitions, we find ourselves beginning to have a lack of a sense of contribution. With this sense of contribution gone, then we lose sense of purpose and direction. Addiction to the need to be needed is also codependency. Codependency occurs when our desire to contribute stems from a sense of not being enough. We are no longer human beings, but we become human doings. So this guy's kind of along the same line of the way that we
talk. Right in line.
There are many different forms of codependency, but the most common is enabling someone with addiction by continually doing things for them to keep everything together. This form of helping is often an attempt to gain a sense of love. In reality, the codependent person is operating in a state of complete self-neglect. Their self-worth and identity quickly erodes into nothing. This sense of emptiness then further fuels the addiction to help others, give gifts, or generally attempting to gain a sense of significance. So it kind of triggered, I had read that before, and then when he was talking about, you know, thinking that they would be crushed and then they weren't, and it was like, oh, you know, they don't need me as much as I thought they were going to need me or whatever. And so I just thought that was interesting.
Cool. Yeah, if you'd send me a link to that, I'd love to look more at that. And I'd like to go to a much more basic, because there's a lot of complexity and misunderstanding about codependence. And if you can get it down to the lowest common denominator, it will be, you've got your mic on, Jeannie, with your typing.
Oh, pardon.
It will, if we take it down to the lowest common denominator of understanding what codependence is, and Joe actually just defined it as he was talking, then it'll be a whole lot easier to spot rather than all that complex language about, oh, I'm enabling them or they're this and that and all that stuff. It's a really simple bottom line. It's the same as our definition, comes from our definition of denial. I'm in codependence whenever I think or speak, and so something outside of me is the cause of what's happening inside of me. And the problem with that is when I do that, I have to hide the truth from myself. I have to dissociate from the truth. So denial leads to dissociation. I lock away what I don't want to look at, what I don't want to deal with, the real cause. And when I dissociate with that real from that real cause, I just inserted a dis-ease energy somewhere in my tissue structure where I'm hiding whatever that is. And then, once I've dissociated from it, you know, I had to push down really hard to get rid of it. And when I push down really hard to get rid of it, I push that energy out into the world. And I just set up a vibration. A literal, measurable, high energy wave leaves my mind when I do that. That then resonates with anybody who's got the matching bag of garbage. And guess who's going to show up in my life? The person with a matching bag of garbage. But here's what happens in codependence. Because of that denial, when they do the behavior that resonates what I've dissociated from, since I can't come into direct relationship with what I've dissociated from, I use that information when they resonated to me to build my brain's image of them. And now I get a real picture because I see them with my made out of. Literally, my mind weaves a picture of the whoever the them is out of the content I've dissociated from in my own mind. And now I see them with my problem attached, and I'm sure it must be their problem, but I'm still the one with the pain when I play that game with myself. So when I dissociate from it, I'm now in an indirect relationship with my pain, but I proclaim, but it's all their fault that I'm experiencing this. What this genius Yeshua did 2,000 years ago was he gave us a tool with which to collapse that whole thing and reclaim the dissociated parts of our own minds. Come out of codependence and go into interdependence. It's a whole different game. So that's what we're here to share with you. Delighted you're here. Again, if you're interested in doing the course, drop Jeannie a note if you want to pick that up and rock on with it. You've got 90 hours of just awesome video. I mean, a lot of really powerful interactive conversations with two different intensives, actually, that we did live online. So, appreciate you. Blessings. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Bye-bye.